Chapter 8. Jedi Temple, Coruscant.
Master Kenth Hamner, acting Grand Master of the Jedi Order, made sure he was the first to arrive in the High Council Chamber. He needed the time to think. Hamner went to one of the windows and looked through it. When the temple had been rebuilt, so had this tower. Except now the tower was enclosed within a so very modern transparent-steel pyramid, therefore one was not able to look out directly into the skies of Coruscant as one used to. Instead, one was treated to the far less scenic sights of painted duricrete or transparent-steel walls, with the occasional tiny figures of Jedi moving about their business. Doubtless the architect had been proud of the stylish design. Hamner sighed and wished they'd simply stuck to what had worked so well for so long. He had done his best to navigate the Jedi through one of their most trying times. He was good at the game of politics. He had a flair for it, a deftness when it came to dealing with people. Luke Skywalker had known that about him, and had also known that Hamner was respected in many quarters. He himself knew he was a good choice for interim master. And yet everything he did, every order he gave, every stance he took, seemed to drive the Jedi he was trying to protect, both as individual beings and the Order as a whole, even deeper into a very ugly pile of Bantha voodoo. Dala, in particular, seemed to confound him. She had initially struck Hamner as a good choice for Chief of State of the Galactic Alliance. The Imperial connections didn't seem to matter so much after the war. Not when Jagged Fell was the Imperial Head of State and was clearly involved with Jedi Knight Jaina Solo, daughter of two famous erstwhile rebels. It was calming, actually. Natasi Dala herself seemed rational and composed. Things had been going well. Until Luke Skywalker had been arrested, and Valen Horn had gone, and Hamner himself realized he agreed with the choice of words, criminally insane. He'd done his best to cooperate, thinking to hunker down and ride out the storm. He'd let the GA assign their observers, at least until Nawara Venn had been able to overturn that order. He'd let GA security into the temple itself to physically remove the raving Valen, in full view of the observers. He'd opened up areas of the temple to the public, even the press, for scrutiny. And yet Dala was still riding the order, pressing down on them like an assassin pressing a thumb on the carotid artery until blackness descended. He shook his head. That was an unkind image, and yet he had requested a meeting with her immediately, and she had put him off for 3 days. 3 days. He ran a hand through his fair hair and sighed, turning away from the window and crossing the marble floor, which had been almost perfectly reproduced. He eased into the carved stone chair, relaxing slightly. The view might be different, but this room still bore its link to the past. Although this was not the exact same room that had served the Jedi Masters well through centuries, the restoration had been painstaking, and the spirit was still here. Kenth Hamner gave a ghost of a smile, and wondered how Grand Master's past would have dealt with the predicament in which he now found himself. Over the next several minutes, the Jedi Masters currently at the temple came trickling in, sometimes one at a time, sometimes in pairs or small groups. He nodded to them quietly as they entered. Kyle Katarn, Octa Ramus, Saba Sepetine, Silgal Kip Duren, Leia Organa Solo, and her daughter Jaina entered, their heads together, quietly talking. They were not officially masters, not yet, though Hamner suspected that one or both might be elevated sooner than either woman expected. But this was not the first time their insight and positions made them welcome guests at a master's meeting. But there was one master present whom Hamner did not see, one who most assuredly ought to have been. And he had had no word from this particular master about appearing via hologram in lieu of in person. Hamner waited a moment, letting the masters settle in and murmur among themselves, then discreetly clicked his comlink.
"Master Horn," he said, "we are all assembled and awaiting your arrival. May I ask when we might expect to—"
"I'm on my way."
The voice was strained and sharp. Such was to be expected, Hamner thought to himself. The Horn family did seem singled out for misfortune during this trying time.
"I'm glad to hear it. Shall we wait or—"
"Wait or go ahead, I don't care."
There was the distinct sound of Corrin's comlink being deactivated. Hamner blinked, feeling the eyes upon him, and exuded calm in the Force.
"Master Horn will be joining us shortly," he said. "As the main topic of conversation concerns him quite intimately, I suggest that if anyone else has other business to bring before the meeting, we address that first."
He spread his arms, indicating that they should take seats. Those who could not be physically present were here in holographic form. An uncomfortable silence stretched out. Finally, Kip Duren spoke.
"Well, I'll mention the Bantha in the room if no one else will. Master Hamner, with all due respect, there is no business to be put before this assembly other than that of the Horns, specifically Gisela. What happened to her, and how long it's going to be before Dala and the GA do something else to us?"
Out of the corner of his eye, Hamner saw Jaina relax. Clearly, if Duren hadn't spoken up, she would have.
"I do not think it appropriate or considerate to begin discussions on that subject until Master Corrin Horn..." "I'm here."
Corrin Horn stepped inside. He looked terrible. His vivid green eyes were bloodshot, and the creases around them, not unexpected in a man of middle age, seemed to have been carved by an unkind hand. He looked scruffy, as if he had not shaved in days, and there was a simmering feeling of suppressed, righteous anger hovering about him in the Force.